Some of these ironclads were rams fitted with iron prows designed to punch holes in the sides of wooden vessels, especially blockading vessels that the North put off the southern coastline. None of the ironclads, not one, had an engine sufficiently large to provide full power, again, because the South lacked the machine shops necessary to build them. The most famous Confederate ironclad, the Virginia, had to make do with the original and small steam engine of the Merrimack. The Merrimack was a wooden vessel. It didn't weigh nearly as much as the Virginia version, which was covered in iron plates. And so that engine that had been adequate to propelling the Merrimack as a wooden vessel was not nearly sufficient in trying to propel the much heavier Virginia. It was not able to maneuver the way it would need to. We'll talk more about its fate, the Virginia's fate, a little bit later. Well, because it was at a disadvantage in so many categories, the Confederacy adopted a very different naval strategy than the North did. It wasn't going to be able to count on meeting the North face to face. It couldn't compete effectively head to head with the more powerful Union Navy. So it sought to defeat the blockade through two major avenues. Number one, the Confederacy turned to technological innovation to protect their harbors and keep them open. Part of this technology was ironclad construction, a major program. Early in the war, Secretary of the Navy Mallory convinced the Confederate government to allocate $2 million to purchase ironclads abroad and additional money to build the Virginia at Norfolk. They would also construct ironclads, two others, at Memphis and New Orleans. Many others were eventually built. This was just an initial request on Mallory's part. The intent at this stage was to use the ironclads to break the Union blockade, get them into the water quickly, send them against the wooden vessels, and prevent the North from sealing off commerce. As Mallory put it, inequality in numbers may be compensated by invulnerability. Thus, not only does economy, but naval success dictate the wisdom and expediency of fighting with iron against wood. If the South could build these ironclads, thought Mallory, they would be able to free up their ports. So that's one part of the technological approach. Another was what were called naval torpedoes at the time. We would call them mines. These would be placed at the entrances to harbors and rivers, and in the course of the war, they sank or damaged 43 Union vessels. The Confederate Navy had a torpedo bureau and a submarine battery service set up during the war. They built torpedo boats, what they called torpedo boats. These were small, basically 50 feet long or so, half-submerged, cigar-shaped vessels. They would move along half under the water, just a little bit of their profile showing over the water. They carried contact mines at the end of a bow-mounted spar. Off they go toward the Union vessel with this mine or torpedo dangling out in front. They would get close enough to the Union vessels, make contact, and detonate it. Finally, the South built the world's first successful submarine, the Hunley, a thin cigar-shaped iron boiler with a crew of 8 men and 1 officer. The Hunley was taken to Charleston by its inventor, Horace L. Hunley, in 1863. 2 volunteer crews drowned in trials of the Hunley. They managed to recruit a 3rd crew, and on the moonlit night of February 17, 1864, this crew guided the little craft several miles out toward the blockading squadron. Its target was the USS Housatonic, a steam sloop. The Hunley managed to get up to the Housatonic with its torpedo out in front, detonate the torpedo, and sink the Housatonic. Tremendous explosion sent the Union vessel to the bottom of the ocean. The Hunley sank as well. No one knows exactly why it sank this time. It sank on the way back. That's the 3rd crew lost for the Hunley, all dead. The Confederates had proved that you could sink a ship with a submarine, but they only had the 1 that was successful. At the rate of 3 crews per Union vessel sunk, it probably wasn't a very good use of manpower. So the South used this approach of technology. The other way they tried to break the blockade was through commerce raiding. This was the traditional manner in which weaker maritime nations try to strike back at a much more powerful navy that is opposing them.